Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
According to a business tech, there is not so much as a fine line between tax evasion and tax planning as there is a giant grey superhighway dissecting the two named tax avoidance. That's according to an article in business tech. Joining us, as he always does, is a Professor Keith Engel, Chief Executive Officer at the South African Institute for Taxation. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good, Howard. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing well, thank you very much. So it does get quite confusing. Tax evasion, tax avoidance, all sounds a little scary to me.
Yeah, this is an old issue that comes up a lot. So, I mean, if you just break them down, what tax evasion is, there's another one in minimization, there's avoidance, there's a few phrases. But there is what I think the government wants is complete and wholesome compliance where you apply yourself maximum to their version of the law. That's where they really like to be. But what you'll typically talk about is people who are complying and they're following the rules, but they're interpreting them to their advantage. And if you interpret them too much to your advantage, then that's avoidance. If you're talking about evasion, it really comes down to you're basically lying. And if the judge saw all the facts, he would see that you were lying, and therefore you're in trouble and there's nothing legal about it. But avoidance is typically the lawyer interprets the law and says, well, I think you have a reasonable chance of success, even though the law never really intended.
Right. And obviously the issues at the moment, given the fact that our economy is not in great shape, the tax base is shrinking, there have been many companies are paying less tax because of the situation. This obviously places SARS in a very, very difficult position and forces them to make sure that they are collecting the tax that they should be collecting.
Yeah, it does. I think, look, the big issue, there are two issues that are always focused on. One is avoidance, which usually governments are more involved in because they have all the paperwork. They're just disagreeing about how the law is interpreted. The second element is evasion, where basically you have 2 cents a book, or you're lying on your returns, or you're not filing anything at all. And those things are easier once you see them to catch it. The problem is you need a different resource to catch those things. And typically around the world, most revenue officials are better at interpreting the papers they receive than getting papers outside of that. And the real issue, I think, today, and I think it's always been there, we just need the money more desperately,
right,
is evasion is quite right. It's right for most tax systems. And I think as people fall under pressure, certain people look, they go, they just can't afford the tax. It's a choice of their lifestyle or the tax. And you will find that people are more willing to be aggressive. And that's outright evasion. And I think the real challenge is to focus on that. And I think the commissioner recognizes that.
So how is this likely to play out in terms of behavior?
Well, the way it's going to work is if people feel they can get away with things, they will. So a good example that you've seen in the newspapers is Bitcoin.
Right.
Now, if you trade in Bitcoin, there's nothing illegal about doing that. But if you make profits on Bitcoin, you need to report that to the revenue service. So if you buy your Bitcoins, every time you exchange Bitcoins and you make money, that's a taxable event. And a lot of people, I would say the vast majority, are simply not reporting it. Now, that's wholesale evasion. Now, the only way to get at that kind of thing is to get third-party data off the app systems or the bank systems that can show that money has gone in and out. Where's the tax return in association with that? And so that's the place. And if people feel, well, SARS will never get the information, I'm just going to keep violating the law, they will keep going. And that is the problem for a number of spaces to SARS, that if people say, look, you can't catch me because you don't know what's going on, I'll just keep doing it.
Right. So it's definitely become a greater focus, but it must be also more complex given the global nature of many people's business and employment, for example.
Yeah, well, that's an example. I mean, if the stuff is abroad, it's much harder. So you'll see the OECD and a number of guys talking about sharing of information between countries, which has grown. But even simple domestic is hard. because it requires a different skill. Your typical auditor is an accountant. So they're used to looking at the papers. They're not used to going out and doing field audits. So it's lifestyle audits. You know, why is this person reporting only they're making R1 million, yet I see they have this huge R4 million home, and they've got these wonderful BMWs. And even Pravin Gordhan would say, "Where you've got this expensive car, what is your tax return?" And so you have to have a different process to get that. And other things like third-party data. I was talking to somebody in SARS the other day, and third-party data is critical. So one of the things they've done is the auto assessment. People not reporting their bank interest or their dividends or their capital gains. And if they can get information from the bank that shows you made that money, then you can pick it up. Similarly with tenderpreneurs, if government is paying money out to people, the revenue service should have record of that. Then they can do independent corroboration. And I said the commissioner is quite aware of this, and he is actively pursuing it. And I think the SARS people are beginning to take it up. But it's a new challenge for them, one long overdue. It's not just the nature of the economy itself. Mm.
Yeah. We hear stories in other parts of the world where somebody comes to buy a property or conclude some transaction, and the banks are forced to report it in terms of or ask you the questions about where that money came from. Is South Africa up to speed as far as other countries are concerned as well there by asking you to prove the source of funds?
I think we do a reasonable amount of job on that. There was something called the Financial Advisory Task Force with our FIC, where we're now talking about money laundering. And often money laundering and tax evasion go together, okay? So our banks, our formal banks, are fairly reasonable trying to trace source of funds. I'm not saying we're the best in the world, but we're probably on the upper third. You'll see some countries are a mess on that regard. But I would say South Africa is fairly reasonable in that regard. But it's typically money laundering. And what the fear there is not so much tax evasion, although that could happen sometimes, where what people are trying to convert their drug money or their criminal money into the formal economy. And there, look, we have a very good banking system. So I think questions are asked, things are done. And I would say it's pretty reasonable.
And final question is: are we finding an increase in tax avoidance or tax evasion because of the lack of confidence in government, or is that simply an excuse that people use, almost a cognitive dissonance, to justify why they aren't paying tax?
I think that's hard to say, but I would probably imagine it's a bit of both. I think first there are people, you know, who justify everything, right? You know,
exactly. Yeah.
You know, so. That always happens. But one of the things that is happening is, as I said, people have a certain lifestyle expectation. And if they're making less money, they're going to see the money going to the revenue service as more of a threat to their basic lifestyle, supporting your children through private school, paying for your basic mortgage. And when you start making trade-offs between lifestyle and the revenue service, that becomes harder. And then if you don't feel that the government is doing things properly, and that's outside of SARS, that's really a government-wide problem, you know, it becomes easier and easier to justify, and to your friends, you're not in shame. So I think to some extent that risk is there, and that risk has been growing for a long time. Mm. And then people do get more resistant because they say government has no moral edge. You can't argue, like avoidance, that I should follow the moral spirit of the law when the law itself has no spirit. So I think on the edges does have an impact.
All right. That's where we leave it. Professor Keith Engel, Chief Executive Officer at the South African Institute for Taxation, talking to us about the difference between tax avoidance and tax evasion.